Therapy Thursday, Dr. Judy Blum. Good morning, Dr. Judy.
Good morning. How's Bakersfield this morning?
It's here.
It's cooling off a little bit.
You know, a lot of people blowing up in the news in the past week or so. Lots of people just irate.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about some guy named Kanye West?
Kanye.
Serena Williams went nuts.
Right, exactly. The GOP Senator Wilson at Obama. I mean, it's what is going on, right?
Yeah.
And just maybe you and I just bumping into people at the grocery store going off on us.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people that are just uptight these days. And let's get into that in just a few, all right?
We'll talk about anger and powerlessness and exactly what's going on in the world.
Dr. Judy, we were going to get into, it seems like everybody's just PO'd right now.
Everyone's just going off, you know, flying off the handle. Kanye, Serena, who else do we have?
Senator Wilson.
Right. What's going on? What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's a combination of things, but, you know, it kind of all boils down to a couple factors. People feel angry and powerless. And when they feel angry and powerless, they act out. And that this is sort of acting out on a massive scale. You know, even the so-called freedom riders who are the groups of conservatives that have been descending on the Capitol to protest some of Obama's policies are acting out of this feeling that they've gotten a raw deal. Okay, it's this resentment, and that resentment that all of these people, Kanye West is feeling, Joe Wilson is feeling, who was disrespectful to the president, Serena Williams was feeling, who was disrespectful to the coach, to the line caller. You know, that leads people to simply act out in terms of becoming intimidating. And it's that underlying feeling of narcissism. And let's talk about narcissism a little bit, because it's just rampant in our society. And that's this belief that, you know, my way is the only way, essentially. And I'm only telling you that for your own good, because I'm right? But, you know, really, truly, my way and my way of thinking and my belief is the only way that there really is. That's, you know, like sort of the narcissistic underpinning of all of this that's going on.
I think we, experience this in our own daily lives with, you know, friends, family, coworkers, all that kind of
just
stuff.
Just being out in the public.
Even driving. I mean, people are tailgating you and, you know, flipping out, going around you and just angry.
Just go to a local bar here in town.
How do we deal with this, Dr. Judy?
Well, you know, a couple things. First of all, you know, that lack of impulse control, you know, where people just act out, right? They just react, right, without thinking about it. You have to get that under control again. And, you know, part of that is being really aware of what ticks you off, first of all, and then how you're reacting to it. So really thinking about it. What is it that really gets me angry? And let me close my eyes for a minute and just think about what gets me angry and notice, first of all, where am I feeling it in my body? You know, does my chest get tight? Do my hands, you know, kind of clench up? Maybe my neck, you know, my forehead? Am I squinching my eyebrows together? You know, where is it? Where in my body am I feeling all this? First thing to do, notice where you feel it and then breathe into that part of the body. Just relax that part of the body. Physiological response. You can't hold on to, certain feelings if you're engendering the exact opposite, right? So if you can relax into those parts of the body, it'll help you relax in general and give you that pause, among other things, that you need to gain the impulse control, to realize what you're about to do and how that's going to affect other people.
Easier said than done. And, you know, you can probably do it in one instance where you're like, you know what, I'm not going to go off. But then all of a sudden, you go and run your next errand, and someone really makes you mad, and then that's when you fly off the handle. But sometimes isn't a good cry or a good yelling just kind of just it helps a little bit sometimes.
But sometimes it does, but not at the expense of somebody else. So another thing you can do, and again, these are things you need to do when you're not in the moment. It will help when you're in the moment, okay? So great thing to do is get together a bunch of, like, really sturdy cardboard boxes, okay, and then get either a mailing tube, or you can even just use a bunch of newspapers all rolled up, right, and go out and put them outside or in your garage if you got a garage, and just smash the hell out of them.
Yeah. Why don't we just go to a gym and start boxing away?
But you need to go to the gym. You can do this. You can just smash them and yell at them and, you know, call them names and even give them names, you know, if it's certain people that you're really ticked off at. You know, it'll really help. It'll get it out of you.
All right. You know what? I like where you're going with all that. And I think what we need to get into next is how do you deal with other people in your life that seem to be acting out? We encounter this in our lives every day with either people that we work with or, significant others or even friends, coworkers. Their needs, their wants supersede everybody else's.
Right, and that's that underlying narcissism and sense of privilege and deservability and entitlement that we have in this culture, and a general lack of respect for, you know, the feelings and the needs and wants of others.
How do we deal with that?
Well, you know, the first thing is it takes two to tango. So you're not going to be able to deal with an angry person by simply getting angry back at them. It becomes a huge fight, right?
Right.
And nobody hears anybody.
The defenses go up.
Your best bet, really, is to kind of do exactly the opposite, is to get quiet. To get quiet, centered, and specific. So if somebody starts and refuse to engage, absolutely refuse to engage in the fight. So refusing to engage can mean that you walk away, literally walk away. If it's an individual who you are in close contact with, like a friend or a loved one or something, go for a walk. Get yourself physically out of there, because it will break the tension and break the fight. And also, they're going to realize that you're not going to stand there and be a human punching bag.
And a walk is better than a drive, probably.
Yeah, no. Don't get
you might get mad in the car.
You don't want to go 100 miles per hour. Because, you know, a car is a great place to let some anger out.
Yeah, it's a great, as long as you don't turn on the ignition.
Right.
You can go to the gym. You can go, you know, work it out at the gym. You can, you know, as we were talking about earlier, smash in the boxes. You know, you can get physical without getting physical at somebody. That's really the first thing. The second is be assertive in your response to the person, again, without yelling or throwing in the kitchen sink or, you know, threatening, you know, them in some manner, shape, or form. Don't come back doing the same thing they're doing.
Are you saying, like, set limitations, like, I cannot tolerate this?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Exactly. You're assertive about it. You say, this is not okay with me. It's not okay with me for you to talk to me that way, and I'm leaving. That's it. Okay? And you walk out. And if you keep doing that, people realize they're not going to get the kind of response that they're looking for. They're looking for you to engage in the fight. All right, or to back down and cower, one of the two. You're not doing either. You're just saying, I'm not doing this. The other thing is, to really begin to help the other person when they're in a calm mood, to really look at their own behavior and how they're distorting their own thoughts about things. You know, are they catastrophizing things? You know, being unrealistically negative. So, you know, they're saying that it's awful and horrible and the worst thing in the world. Well, you know, very few things in life are really a catastrophe, right? They might be inconvenient, they might be disappointing or frustrating, but they're not awful. That's part of it, too, is helping the other person to begin to see what they're doing in terms of that interaction.
What's
using
wrong
really
with
accurate language and being able to really look at the whole picture. So finding evidence that the opposite of what they're thinking is also true.
What's wrong with cutting those people out of your life? I mean, for myself, I'm just not going to deal. If you're angry, I'm not going to deal with you because I need to be in a happy place. You're just bringing me down. And some people you just can't change. They're just kind of at this place, and they've got to deal with it on their own time and their own terms, which I think is fine. But I choose to just be out of it and not be friends with you.
And I think that's a perfectly reasonable choice in some circumstances. Sometimes we can't do that. You know, what if it's your kid, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's your parent, or a brother or sister who's doing that to you. You know, then you know who's making you become really defensive because they get angry all the time. Then unless you're willing to cut them out of your life, you've really got to work on how can we communicate in a way that we don't go here. And part of that, again, is talking to them when they're not at that point, you know, sitting down one-on-one. Reflecting back in those circumstances, say, look, let's sit down and really talk about some of this stuff that keeps coming up over and over again for us. I want to hear what you say, and I want you to hear what I say. And you take turns talking, literally take turns talking, so that the person who's talking uses I statements as much as possible. What's an I statement? An I statement has three parts. I, when, because. I feel this way when this happens because. And it's not when you do this. That all that is blaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But when this happens, sounds totally different. Okay? So I feel, you know, really, really angry. And what's underneath the anger is the next one. I feel frustrated maybe, right? Or I feel disrespected, or I feel powerless, or, you know, what's under the anger? What's the other, you know, the anger is actually a secondary emotion most of the time, right? There's something that's behind the anger. So try to get to that. And then, you know, when this happens, and then because, and tell them why you feel that way. When you're done talking, the other person stops and tells you what they heard you say, okay? Don't answer. Just tell them what you heard them say, including the feelings, and then say, did I hear you correctly? Is there anything you want to add to that before you answer? And the point of this is twofold. One, because then the other person feels like, okay, yeah, they did hear me, right? And it's respectful. And the other thing is that sometimes we say things and it is what we said, but it's not really what we meant. And then when we hear it reflected back to us, We can get that. We can go, yeah, you're right. That is what I said. But what I really meant was blah, 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 blah. So, and then you switch. And what that does is it takes the defensiveness out of the conversation. And that defensiveness is what leads to the anger.
Well, finally, does this work for bill collectors?
No.
I didn't think so. I was just hoping it might work.
All right, good stuff. Dr. Judy Blume here. Therapy Thursday. We've been talking about anger this morning and dealing with people that are flying off the handle these days.
Anywhere from celebrities and to, you know, folks at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Even, or, you know, road rage.
Or that's your loved ones one. Or, yeah, whatever.
Those are the easiest ones to kind of go off on are your friends and family.
Right.
Absolutely, because those are the people that you're dealing with on a daily basis, right? So there are all kinds of issues and underlying issues that are involved there, where it's not necessarily about what's happening right in the moment. It's all the history that you have with that person that sort of comes into play during the, you know, during the discussions, right, during the fights. So, you know, a couple things that you can do, and it starts with you. You know, you're not going to change somebody else. Right. I mean, they may change by your example, but you're not going to be able to actively change somebody else. They're going to have to decide they're willing to work on themselves and change themselves. So, but you can change you, and you can change what you do and what you think. So, you know, the Buddhists call it loving kindness, and I think that that's something that you really have to start with, which is, how can I treat this other person with respect and compassion? How can I have compassion for the way that they feel, the way that they're thinking, the way that they're acting? Why are they acting that way or saying those things to me? You know, so it's instead of just being reactive to it, doesn't mean you agree with it, but instead of just being reactive to it, going to, you know, trying to really, really get it from that, get in their shoes, right? Get, you know, really understand the other person's point of view and feelings about whatever it is they're upset about. And then talk about that. You know, talk about what's really going on with them. We talked about being, you know, realistically negative, so that things are disappointing, frustrating, not terrible and awful. You know, overgeneralizing, you know, making sure that you don't use terms like always and you know, you always do this and, you know, every time we do blah, 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 blah. No, it's probably not every time. Maybe frequently. Again, be specific with the language that you use in talking to somebody as well as the language that you're using in your own head. Demanding and commanding. So say what your real wants and desires and preferences are, not should statements. I tell people, stop shooting on yourself, okay? Yeah, I prefer that this happened, or, you know, you ought to think about it, you know, about doing this, perhaps, you know? And it's, if you're saying you ought, then you're telling them what they have to do, as opposed to, I prefer that you think about doing it this way, right? Totally different in the way that somebody hears what you're saying and in the way that you're thinking about it. Labeling. So don't label somebody else and don't label yourself, you know, an idiot, a jerk, whatever, right? Maybe that specific behavior was pretty stupid, but it doesn't mean that they are that, right? Okay, so it's really starting to be aware of your own ways of thinking about things. Identifying trigger thoughts. So what are the things that tend to set you off or tend to set off the other person? And, you know, really being aware of those things so that when those come up, you've got some coping strategies laid out ahead of time. You say, okay, all right, that's my trigger. I mean, you really recognize it. Again, some of this takes a little work and a little forethought. You know, in the moment, we do get so heated up about stuff that it's hard to kind of keep our wits about us enough to not engage in it. But if you work on some of these things in advance, then you can bring that to every encounter that you come into, whether it's with somebody you know or somebody you don't know, you know, in the parking lot. Even in the parking lot, you know, somebody, you know, nearly backs into you or something and you want to get out and just, you know, scream at them. Instead, if you can, you know, not scream at them, but just say, I would appreciate it if you could be more careful, right? It's a whole different, you know, level of interaction. Actually, you'll shock them that you didn't scream at them. And your reaction is likely, much more likely to be, you know, I'm sorry, you know, whereas otherwise they might go, yeah, but you were standing there in the way, or your car was in the way, or I didn't see her, or, you know. Instead, if you come at it with just calmness and being specific and talking about your feeling then they're going to react in a whole different way.
I'm going to practice. I'm not okay with this. I'm leaving.
Right. I'm not okay with this. I'm leaving. I'm going. Yeah,
that's a good one. All right. Dr. Judy Blume, Therapy Thursday. What is your website?
Dr. Judy at drjudybloom.com, and Judy is J-U-D-I, and Bloom is B-L-O-O-M.
Well, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
We will talk to you again next Thursday.
Have a good week. You